Scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew 7, 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
Good to see you this morning. Have a good number of guests with us, good number of our own who are with us this morning, and it is always a delight to be with you. I want to say that I was really anticipating this particular Sunday with eagerness. I was excited about this Sunday, have been for some time, because my good buddy Gage Coldwater was going to be here, and I was excited to spend time with Gage. If you remember, the calendar had Brother Gage with Manna Project coming, and he was going to be presenting to us more information on that work that we support. Gage is a wonderful friend of mine. I love being with him, and I was excited about that opportunity. Well, his back had other things to say, I guess, and he was not able to be with us. And so I do appreciate you keeping him in your prayers. Mike and Cherie find themselves today in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I think they both are actually speaking. I know Brother Mike is quite a bit, and so Mike and Sheree are gone. And so here we are. This is where we find ourselves. The golden rule. I want you to think about it, and I was going to say the golden rule is something that we learn as young children, right? Our parents have instilled it in us from a young time in our lives. And I was visiting with Keith Powell in the back just before we started worship this morning. And Keith said, oh, the golden rule. He said, I remember Mrs. Patton. Mrs. Patton, my, what'd you say, Keith, your Sunday school teacher? And he pointed like this, like I was this tall, right? I was this tall when Mrs. Patton told me about the golden rule. And all these years later, Keith, I'm not going to ask you how old you are, but all these years later and all these gray hairs later, you hadn't forgotten it. The golden rule. I want to look at that this morning. Brother Allen read it for us a moment ago in Matthew chapter 7 in verse number 12. What intrigues me is the fact that if you look in your copy of God's Word in Matthew chapter 7 in verse 12, in many of our English translations, the first word is therefore, or so, or so whatever. Or you've got a couple of words and then you have the word therefore. And so what is Jesus doing in Matthew 7 and verse 12? Because it doesn't seem to me that it is just a standalone verse there in the Sermon on the Mount, but he is drawing a conclusion from what he has just said. And so what has he just said? This morning what I want to do is look at this in context before we actually look at the golden rule itself. This finds itself really in three simple points. Number one, our Father's promise. Our Father's promise begins in verse number 7, where Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. I want to say this morning that the context of the golden rule is persistence in prayer. And I don't know if that's going to strike you as something, but isn't it interesting that the context of the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, is actually found in a context where Jesus is talking about prayer. So what does the golden rule have to do with prayer? That's a good question. But here he starts by saying, will you remember that God has made a promise? That if you will ask, you will receive, and if you will seek, you will find, and if you will knock, the door will be opened. It's a great and precious promise. I want to take you back to chapter 6 and to take you back to the model prayer where Jesus has already talked about prayer. And in chapter 6 and verse 11, as part of our praying to God, Jesus says to God, give us this day our daily bread. It is right for us to petition God continually, continue to ask, continue to seek, continue to knock, and God will continue to provide. It is good for us to ask God. It is good for us to be reminded that God can provide for us. The promise of God is, I'm listening, and I am able. How big is your God this morning? Is he listening? Do you trust that he is? And you say, well, Adam, listen, I don't know about all this because doesn't God already know what I need? I mean, why do I have to continue to petition him, or why do I need to continue to pray to him if he already knows what I need? Does he know what I need? Well, chapter 6 and verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for clothing? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father, catch it, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And so if he knows that I need all these things, why do I have to ask him for all these things? What's the answer? The answer is, if I'm not careful, I'll get to worrying about these things. And these thoughts will consume my life. And I'll get to thinking that I have to provide them for myself. And I'm good enough, and I'm strong enough, and I'm able enough, and I can do it for myself. And I'll become self-dependent, and I'll become reliant on myself instead of depending upon God, who is hearing and is able. I petition God because he is God, and I am not. That God knows what I need, and God is able to help me. And so he tells me, Adam, you be persistent in prayer. Those words in the Greek language, ask, seek, and knock, are in the present tense, which denotes continual action. So continue. Be persistent in your asking, in your seeking, and your knocking. Jesus taught this over in Luke chapter 11. These words are going to sound very familiar to you. I just want you to see them in Luke's account rather than Matthew's. So keep your finger there in Matthew chapter 7. We'll be right back. But in Luke chapter 11, notice the words that Luke records of Jesus after giving again the model prayer, verses 1 through 4. The Bible says in Luke 11 in verse 5, then he said to them, which of you has a friend and will go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers and says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut and my children and I are in bed and I cannot rise up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not arise and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and will give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Sound familiar? It follows the heels of being persistent in prayer. Now, I'm not saying that I blame the man with his children in bed. He gets a knock on the door at midnight and he says, hey, I need some stuff. And he says, listen, the kids are in bed. I'm not getting up now. Some of you are in the middle of this, and some of us are kind of on the other side of this, and some of us have been on the other side for a while, but the challenge of putting kids to bed is real. It is real. You remember those days putting the kids to bed? You got one story. Now read me another story. You finish the second story. Now I need a drink of water. Now I need a second drink of water. And if your kids are sharing the same room, he's touching me, he's hitting me, and then the spanking, and then the crying, and it just all starts again. And it's a challenge to put kids to bed. Listen, the kids are in bed. I'm not getting up. But because of your persistence, he will get up. And Jesus says, be thankful that you don't have a father like you. Be thankful that he never sleeps. Be thankful that when you knock, he always opens. Be thankful that when you ask, you always receive. Be thankful that when you seek, you will always find. Be thankful that you don't have a God like us, that he doesn't have a bedtime. It's never too late. And he is able. He is always listening, and he is always able. What a precious promise that God gives us. You can see the persistence of that widow in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 11. I'm asking the question, is it okay to petition God over and over and over for the same things? And the answer is yes. It is okay to petition God for the same things over and over and over because God is listening and God is able. How many times over the last several weeks have you petitioned God on behalf of brothers and sisters who are going through difficulties? How many times have we mentioned the same names to God week after week after week? Is that okay? And the answer is yes. Because we trust Him. Because we know that we need Him. Because we know that our reliance is on Him and not ourselves. And that's what Jesus is teaching. Don't forget your dependence on God. Don't forget that you can rely on Him. Don't forget that He is there, that He is listening, and that He is able. It's a great promise that Jesus makes. But some may take that and say, well, listen, if I ask, I'm going to receive. And if I'm seeking, I'm going to find. If I'm knocking, I'm going to be open. It's kind of like a blank check. It's as if God is saying, hey, ask for whatever you want, and you're going to receive it. It's as if God is Jesus saying, just rub the bottle, and the genie comes out, and He'll grant you whatever wish you want. Is God able? The answer is yes. That's a great promise. But He follows that up, and this is important, with a Father's provision. First is our Father's promise, I'm listening and I'm able. But here then is a Father's provision. This is the next two verses, beginning in verse number 9, rather, the next three verses. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? So if you just have the first two verses, someone might be tempted to say, listen, I'm just going to ask God for everything and He's going to give it to me. I can ask God for anything and He'll just go ahead and grant it to me. I'm not going to speak for your father, I'll speak for mine. My dad is a good man. I am blessed richly. I know that not everybody is as blessed as me, but I'm telling you, my dad is a good man. I'm proud to be his son. I'm thankful to God for the father that I have. If I were to ask my dad, Dad, do you love me? Yes. I know that he loves me. I say, Dad, would you sacrifice anything for yourself so that my needs could be taken care of? And I am confident that my dad, even today, he would give up everything to help me. I'm confident of it. Dad, would you give me anything I ever ask for? No. Are you crazy? I mean, I asked for crazy, silly things when I was growing up. Silly things. We lived by a John Deere dealership. We were country people. We lived out in the country. And we to get to our house out in the country, we had to drive by the John Deere dealership. And they had fun things out there. Big tractors. I grew up driving big tractors. And they had one of the things that I really loved, was they had what they called a gator. And it was an ATV vehicle, a sport utility vehicle, a little side-by-side, and it had a little dump trailer on the back of it. And I was confident that I was going to get one of those. Because I put it on the top of my Christmas and birthday list every year from the time I was 6 until I was about 10. And I was just confident that I was going to get that little sport utility vehicle and I was going to drive it around the farm and I was going to drive it fast and I was going to take it out on the road. And, you know, my dad knew that that's exactly what I would do. And I had no idea how expensive it was on top of that. Of course, I was never going to get that. Of course, I was never going to get that. But I thought that I needed it. I thought that I wanted it. And I thought because I asked for it, I should get it. And if we're not careful, that's how we'll treat our Heavenly Father. There's a difference, though, between my Father and my Heavenly Father. And brethren, I don't need a genie. I need a Father. I need a Father. I need a Father who's looking out for my best interest. You see, I don't always know what my best interest is. I don't always know how this is going to work out, but I have a Father who does. And so Jesus is saying, you need to trust your Father. You need to trust your Father's provision, that He will provide what you need. And just because you think you need it doesn't mean you need it. He knows what is best. It's amazing when you stop and consider God. the God who gives good gifts. If I turn in my Bible over to Romans chapter 8, I read what the Apostle Paul has to say about the giving of good gifts. In Romans chapter 8, in verse number 31, Paul's drawing a conclusion. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who indeed did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He will graciously provide. That's what Paul is saying. God didn't even spare his own son. He gave us Jesus, his only son. He's not going to withhold from us what we need. He will provide. In fact, he will graciously provide. But then I couple that with James chapter 1. And I look at James chapter 1 in verse number 17. And the Bible says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. Everything that God provides is good. Now, underline that thought and go back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. God alone is good. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 17, Jesus is approached by a young ruler who asks what he must do to inherit eternal life. But he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. We know how to give good things to our children. If they ask for bread, we don't give them a stone. If they ask for fish, we don't give them a snake. We know how to provide them with what they need. We know how to give them nourishment. We know how to help them through life. We know how to help them take care of themselves. And we try our best to provide these things to our children. And so it's a lesser to greater argument. If we know how to do that, though we are evil in comparison to God, look at how much greater God is. He is able. He is listening and he is able and he will provide. He won't provide just a little. He will provide what is good. He will provide what is good. Verse 11, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? We have a God who is able. We have a God that we can consistently approach, and he will continually provide us with what is good. And so then you get to verse 12. Based on the fact that we have a Father's promise, I'm listening and I'm able, and we have a Father's provision, I will give you what is good. I will not give you whatever you ask for, but I will give you what is good. And you can be confident in that as you approach me according to my will, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Because God is listening, and because he is able, and because he provides us with what is good and what we need in this life, that better have an effect on the way that I treat other people. And that's your context. Because of who God is, and because of what he provides us, and because he provides this to all people, he makes a plea. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. What effect does a good God giving good provisions to you have on your relationship with other people? It needs to have one. If I'm not careful, I'll forget that other people are made in the same image that I'm made. And if I'm not careful, I'll forget that others are in need of the same provisions that I need. And who am I to elevate myself above anybody else? And there's your golden rule. And that's his context. And what Jesus is saying is, a good God and his graciousness needs to have an effect on you and how you treat others. And that's really important. That's the point that Jesus is really driving at. the golden rule is in a context of persistent prayer, of our need for God and our knowing that we need God. And I need God as much as everybody else out there needs God. So think with me for just a few more minutes, specifically about the golden rule. Think with me about what Jesus ultimately is saying. And I'm going to tell you this morning something that you may have heard already. It's not original with me. But I'm going to ask you this morning to choose your rule. Choose your rule. There are three that I'm going to give you to choose from. Number one, you can choose the iron rule. Again, not original with me. But the iron rule basically says, might makes right. If I'm strong enough, tough enough, big enough, if I'm stronger than you or bigger than you, and I want what you have, I'll take it. I'll just take it. Think about Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse 11. In that context, God is telling Habakkuk, I'm going to send the Chaldeans. This Babylonian army is going to come, and I'm telling you, this Babylonian army, there is nothing that can stand in their way. They've got the army, they've got the horses, they've got the chariots, they've got the soldiers, they've got the power, they've got the might. There's nobody on earth who can stop them. And so old Nebuchadnezzar and his army, they are just marching, and there is nothing that anybody can do to stop them. In chapter 1 and verse 11 of the book of Habakkuk, the Bible says, their power or their might is their God. We're strong enough, we can take on anybody. There's just nobody who can stop us. I'm afraid that some of us can have an attitude like that. You know, that's the attitude of Cain when he killed his brother. He envied the fact that his brother was respected by God and his offering was respected and that his own was not. And so he rose up against his brother as they were in the field and he killed his brother. Why? Because might makes right. Because I can. I don't know how he did it. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly how he did it. But he had something in some way that he was able to overpower his brother and he was able to kill his brother. Why? Because I can. Because I can. And he did. And there are many in this world who consider themselves older, bigger, stronger, tougher, and that somehow gives them the right to rule and to take control. And so they beat people, sometimes literally, into submission. But that's not the picture of a good God. How can it be of us, his children? If you really want to know how evil the iron rule is, just go back in our country to 1973, Roe v. Wade. And you'll see how evil the iron rule is. That says we will take the weak and the innocent and those who cannot defend themselves, and we will allow women and men to make decisions in their own best interest to snuff out the life of somebody who can't defend themselves. That's the iron rule. That's how wicked it is. And millions upon millions of babies have been murdered because of the iron rule. Might makes right. It's tragic. We have locks on our houses and locks on our doors because of the iron rule. Because someone says, what's yours is actually mine because I can take it. Now you can choose to live by the iron rule, but I suggest you don't. But it's possible even for God's people to let that sneak into our lives. It's possible for that to be in our marriages, raising our children. It's possible for that to exist among siblings. I'm bigger. I'll take it. It's possible for that to exist in friendships, even in relationships in the world. It's possible for that to sneak into the job site. It's possible for that to sneak into the church. It did it with Diotrephes. Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. Might makes right. If we're not careful, they can sneak in. I'm telling you, we need to watch it. It's against the golden rule. It's the iron rule. Number two, you could choose to live by the silver rule. Someone said the silver rule is the golden rule without the gold. It doesn't sound so bad when you first hear it. Simply put, you could say the silver rule, don't mistreat others. Don't mistreat others. And you say, well, that sounds pretty similar to the golden rule. It does sound pretty similar, but it is not the same. It is passive. Don't mistreat others. Don't do something to somebody that you don't want them to do to you. And so don't mistreat them because you don't want them to mistreat you. And so again, that doesn't sound so bad on the surface, but the problem with that is that it allows you to be passive. It allows you to be inactive. That's not what Jesus taught. You know that. He didn't say, hey, just don't mistreat others. That's not what he said. Brother Wayne Jackson summed up the silver rule by saying, in essence, it would forbid you to steal your neighbor's purse that had $200 in it because you wouldn't want your neighbor to steal yours. Right? So you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that because you wouldn't want them to do that to you. However, if you found your neighbor's purse in the mall parking lot, or you found a random purse in the mall parking lot with $200 in it, you could keep it because you didn't do anything. You didn't go and steal it. You didn't go and take it. And finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Right? That's the silver rule. It's passive. Oh, I don't have to do anything with this. Listen, this just kind of fell in my lap, and what a great day. You could live by that rule. I don't have to do anything to others. I don't want done to me. It allows me to be passive. So you illustrate this, and Jesus does in Luke chapter 10 with the parable of the Good Samaritan. You got the iron rule, don't you? You've got the iron rule. A certain man walking out of Jericho fell among thieves, and they robbed him. And they left him half dead on the side of the road. That's the iron rule. I mean, you got what I want. And so they overpower him and they take what they want. And so they might makes right. And so they leave him half dead on the side of the road. And then you have the silver rule, the priest and the Levite. Listen, they didn't do it. They're not at fault. They didn't take anything from the guy. They just passively walked by on the other side of the road. It's not like they walked over and kicked him while he was down. They wouldn't want somebody to do that to them, but they just leave him and they continue on the other side of the road. But the golden rule says what? Do. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them. It is not passive, it is active. And that's the difference. The golden rule is in the Good Samaritan, right? The Samaritan who stopped. That dirty dog enemy of the Jews who stopped and helped this Jew on the side of the road, who bent down and helped him and put him on his own animal and took him to an inn and bandaged him up and gave him medication, it seems, and left with the innkeeper. Some commentators say that he left him at least 3 weeks of money to keep him there at the inn. And he says, if that's not enough, I'll be back and I'll pay you extra. He went all the extremes of helping a fellow person. Why? Because he'd been blessed by God too. Because of what God had done for him, he couldn't help but do it for others. What if laws were passed in our country based in the golden rule? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't our country be great? Wouldn't our city be great? What if we lived the golden rule in our homes? Wouldn't our homes be great? Wouldn't we all be happy? Yeah. Healthy relationships, golden rule. It really comes down to the golden rule. It's a remembering of who God is and how gracious He is, how good He is, and what He gives us in all good things. And so I want to finish this morning by saying the golden rule is universal. It's universal. Look back in your Bible, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. In the translation I'm reading from, you'll find something similar. The New King James doesn't bring this out as much. The King James does. It uses the word all. A lot of translations do. Therefore, in all things, whatever. This translation says, in all things, whatever. This rule applies to every segment of life. And if this were applied to our homes, guess what? There would be no marriage infidelity. There would be no divorce. It would take care of sexual or child abuse. It would take care of marital abuse. It would take care of all of these issues in our homes. There would be no mistreatment of siblings. This is a universal law. This is what Jesus says all of us who are granted the provisions by a good God, all of us are responsible for adhering ourselves to this law. It's universal. Number two, it's unconditional. Do you see an if anywhere in that verse? Oh, I wish there were, you say. Oh, how I wish Jesus would have said, if they do good to me, I will do good to them. If it is not there. It is not there. The golden rule does not depend on how they treat me. It does not. I have a responsibility to treat them. Why? Because I've been blessed by a good God. And they are made in His image as I am made in His image. And so my behavior does not depend on their behavior. Whew. Ouch. How I wish he would said if. But he did not. He did not. Therefore, I must be careful that I do not make it conditional. There is no if. And the final thing is the most important thing. The character of the one who spoke the law makes this important. I could tell you, do good to others. Do good to others. Whatever you want people to do for you, do also for them. But it doesn't hold much weight. But the one who spoke those words, the one who gives us this rule, was perfect in every single way. Jesus practiced what he preached. He was consistent in what he did. My father is such a good man, but my father is not perfect. I wish that Evan and Alan could say that their father was, but they cannot. Jesus could, and the one who said it was perfect in every single way. If you want to see the rule lived out, then just look at the life of Jesus. One has said the golden rule is the Everest of ethics. It is the Everest of ethics. It is a challenge beyond our really belief to really comprehend that I could go about my life seeking to do to others what I would have them do to me. It is a challenge and I will never perfect it. But it is a climb that I must always be ascending. Jesus is the peak. Perfect. But brethren, may we never settle, but may we always be climbing, may we always be ascending and trying our best and working toward being more and more like our Lord. He understands our imperfection. I'm thankful for that. But I don't want to settle when it comes to the golden rule, because God has been so good to me, because I'm reliant upon His provision, and so are you. That we are not better than anybody else living in this world. We're all in need of Jesus. We're all in need of His salvation. And so let us seek to draw ourselves closer to a good God. Why would you not respond this morning to a good God? Why would you not respond to the salvation that He offers you? If you find yourself today outside of Christ, why would you remain there? This morning you can respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can be saved. This morning you can be found right with God, and He's given you the opportunity right now to respond to His grace found in Jesus. This morning, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Are you ready to make that confession, to repent of sin in your life, to be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins? This morning you can respond and you can be made right with God. But this morning, as a Christian, I want you to examine your life. I want you to think about your living according to the golden rule. Have you made it conditional? Have you been imposing your will on somebody unnecessarily? Have you really submitted yourself to Christ? Have you really submitted yourself to Jesus? Are you really striving to be more and more like Him? Have you forgotten in your life how good God really is and the gracious provisions that He has supplied? And have you wandered away? This morning, if you need to return, or if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters who love you so much, can we help you in any way this morning? Please come while together we stand.